Amen. On the screen again. Shalom, church. From Enugu, Sister Bennett from Enugu State, Nigeria. Shalom, church. In the book of Job, when the sons of God were having meeting, Satan went. My question is Satan also a son of God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to also ask, heaven is an address, right? But God had a discussion with Satan. Where are you coming from? Where did he say is his address? Say it again. He has no address. Even as we are gathering here, now, are we not children of God? He is not afraid to come here. He can even come here too. But this is not his address. God bless you. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. The question I want to ask is about the Godhead.
Yes.
So, I don't believe in Trinity. I believed in Trinity before. But now I've deleted it in my mind. But I'm still confused.
Yes.
Because you say that God is one. Not that you say. The Bible says that God is one.
Thank you.
That we have one God. It's truth. But Jesus says that he that will follow me will carry his cross and follow him day and night. And he says again that some in a place that he says that that he will confess the person's name before his Father and the angels in heaven. So if Jesus is God, who is he going to confess his name and before the angels in heaven?
What you will have asked me is, how is Jesus God? That's what you want to ask.
Okay.
How is he God? He is God because Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, what does it say? For it pleased the Father of Jesus, that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 2, again, verse 9. What does it say? For in him, Jesus, now, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Another scripture, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He is God because God, the great eternal spirit, came in all fullness and dwelt in that human being that he created, making him Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3, can we read it? Can we read that scripture? Verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, and without controversy, he said, great is the mystery. It is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Your question is, how can he be God and still talk to God again, to the Father? That is why I say you will have asked, how is he God? So he was the Son of God. Why? He was the Lamb, the body that God created as an offering for the remission of our sins. But God dwelt in him as an office. But he was still a man. So the mystery there is that he was 100% a human being and 100% God.
Thank you, sir.
That is the mystery.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. When he's speaking as a man, and when he's speaking as deity, you should also catch it.
I've gotten it.
Because God cannot cry. But he cried when his friend died. There he displayed humanity and divinity. He says, I am the resurrection and
life.
But he cried that his friend died as a man. But suddenly again, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
My second question is this, about December. I want to know is it good for the birth of Jesus to celebrate? They say that Jesus was born on December.
They say?
Yes.
Who are these?
The Catholics.
Get our tape that we preach here. We took time to teach using the scripture. And you will see that Jesus was born between September and October using the Bible. Everything we teach, we have it in the Bible to show you.
Okay. What is the topic?
The topic. Christ was not born in December. I think something like that.
Okay, sir. My last question.
Ask them in the tape stand. They will give it to you.
My last question.
Yes.
How can one discover his gift?
How can one discover his gift?
Yes. Know his gift, yes.
When it begins to manifest, then you discover it. I think I've answered you. When you begin to see vision, then is that not your gift? Yes.
Well, the man is, God bless you, sir.
Joshua from Gombe, you're on air.
Yeah. Well, what is, I have a question. My question is that I was listening to the message you preach, Handwriting on the Wall. And there you said somebody will go and sit down and watching a boxing and people are beating each other is a sign of Handwriting on the Wall. And you say it's one favorite game of Brother Abraham is the doctrine. So I want you to clarify that place for me, please.
You want me to clarify it?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what. You want me to preach it again?
Not preach it again, sir. I want you to make it for me clear.
I say handwriting on the wall there is a sign of the end. And it's true. That I say one of the signs of the end is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6b, part B, that was fulfilled in the ministry of Elijah, because he said the ministry of William Branham, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. That means once you see Elijah the prophet manifest, it becomes a sign that the great and dreadful day is at hand. Therefore, that fulfillment of that scripture becomes a sign of the end. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Okay, sorry. I'm being reminded. He said, I'm writing concerning the question asked by an online member. It says, on the handwriting on the wall, he said that you inferred in your sermon that one of the signs is that people have pleasure in watching boxing. Yet, Brother Abraham loved boxing and said you should explain. And so, she's saying it's like, I did not understand him. I don't know the context with which I mentioned this about boxing. But personally, I said that I believe that sport, boxing, is barbaric. I believe that anybody that will enjoy seeing somebody being tortured is barbaric. That is me towards that spot. Now when you get excited when a fellow human being is being tortured, something is wrong with you. Now you are saying that Abraham loved boxing. that does not nullify what I feel. And Brother Abraham, praise the Lord. You will soon tell me there are some food that I cannot eat that Brother Abraham was eating. And tell me, I have told you my own opinion. So maybe you have to ask Brother Abraham, why is he enjoying boxing when Pastor Moses says it is barbaric? God bless you. God bless you. Let me hear you.
Men and brethren, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm from Bayelsa. I visited here, the church, on Tuesday for the first time.
Amen.
I have settled down many times to monitor a believer, a Christian. Many times I discover that it's like their lifestyle, they used to suffer well. So I have settled down to monitor some Christians. It seems like the way they suffer is different from those unbelievers. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So for example, you will see a sister that all her life she lived a very good life. At a certain stage of to marry, it will become problem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It will become problem. Maybe at the end of the day she will marry late hour. Getting to the husband's house to bear a child, it will become problem.
Yes.
But a prostitute will repent today, next week a brother will marry the person. Getting to the house, it will be burning, pray, be giving birth like in every 9 months. But a sister that wedded as a virgin, to got married sometimes, become problem. Married to God, have children will become a problem. So I need some.
No, you have to, you can't generalize it like that.
I say some.
You cannot generalize it. When you say, why do some? My Bible tells me that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. Depending on God's purpose, your life as a believer is determined by God's purpose in your life. That is why it says, that in all circumstances we should give thanks, for that is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus. Do you know how long Elizabeth cried before she finally got John the Baptist? And yet, they were righteous. Zechariah was a righteous man, a priest, working day and night, but no child. What of Sarah and Abraham? So you will see that there was a purpose for Sarah, and that purpose is also has a timing for it. So depending on God's purpose in your life, do you know that, as strange as it may look, that a woman that God is going to use to be a counselor to women who will suffer marriage problems, that person will also undergo the experience of a horrible marriage so that she can also be positioned to help others? God can do it. Praise the Lord. So you don't use it at all. And also, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you are a Christian, you are not prayerful, you will suffer for nothing. Then Apostle Paul, Peter said something, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read it. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and on their part he is even spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Then he added in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That is why I say you cannot generalize it. God bless you. Yes?
Brother Chidi, I'm calling from Germany.
Chidi from Germany, we are hearing you.
Yes. My question is that first I have to compliment you for your effort in bringing Bible to the people. There was a time I saw before about having your church here in Germany. But now I hear you want to open some grass. So I want to say something about it. In Europe and in America, where all I have been, there are some pastors who have sent from Africa, especially from Nigeria, to Western world, with the aim of prospering the gospel. When they come here, they were diverted into other ways, start doing other things. After some years, they will change the church name. They divert from the gospel they have, from what they have, from the main mass. But what I'm saying is, these pastors you are sending, I hope and I believe God that they will stand by their teaching. They will never be dead. Because in the Western world here, in the Western world, many who come, some pastors who come from Africa, after some years they've diverted, changed the church name, have their own congregation. It happens here. So, sir, as we are opening this church, I pray that they will stand by your preaching to the end of it. And my question goes like this. Is it true or is it wrong that a man of God who is poor is not called by God? Because I hear this from Dr. Omar of I preaching. He said a man of God who is poor is not called by God. Is it true? Thank you and God bless you. I pray that God will give you life to bring people to the Bible.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's Omar of I. Praise the Lord. And one funny thing about these preachers is that they are able to bamboozle people's heads. He is saying that a pastor who is poor is not called by God. Then after that ministration, he will now come and say, if you want to connect, you want to be a millionaire this year, or you have come and touch my shoe. Now I have special anointing for those who will bring €1,000. $1,000. Stand up. After the service, he will collect it. If that is what makes them rich, they are 419. That is what makes them rich. To start with, why do you link the ministry with wealth? Which business is a pastor doing that he will boast that it is because he's a pastor, that's why he is rich? How can a true man of God boast of wealth that he derives from the people's tithes and offerings? That is the problem that we have in Christianity. And those are the kind of people that the people hold in high esteem. They live and go to Europe. They go to America. They travel out there. And all they go is to make money. You know people like that, that before they honor your invitation, a church will honor, they sit down and sign contracts. How much are you giving me? They tell you how much you will pay. And when they collect such money, then they live like rich people and say a pastor cannot be poor. What are you doing that is making you rich, pastor? Praise God. Don't worry. One day we shall all come before the judgment seat. And every one of us will give account of what we did with the gospel. No pastor is permitted morally to stand before the people that sustain him and testify of wealth, of material acquisitions. It's a shame that you are doing 419 and you don't even have conscience that poor people are sitting down there, you collected their offering and you are living big and you are coming to testify as if it is God blessing you like that. No pastor should stand morally justified to stand and say, when I started the ministry, I had only one shoe. Can't you see now I have this? With which money? From the poor people that you collect their money with feared words, making merchandise of the people. God will judge all of them who have commercialized the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God will help these Pentecostals who have turned the gospel upside down. I went to Europe. I was hearing testimony of ministers who live, Nigerian ministers, that went there. So when I go now, they are thinking I am one of them. And they were all skeptical. Who will be this one? Wake up now. I'm one of them. Praise God. And I had to tell them, last year, in all the places I visited, when I'm preaching and they reach where one starts, because they are sitting down there with their painted faces, women wearing trousers, putting on me water hair, sitting down there, some of them dressing anyhow, and the preacher will come there and deceive them, you are all children of God, because he did not go for their soul, he went for their pockets. When I went, praise God, in everywhere I went, I told them I have not come to Europe to open branch. I said, and I did not come here to tell you I have a building project, so I need money from you. And I told them that I even bought my own ticket with my own money to come here. I already have my return ticket to go back. I said, so if I stand here now and I don't tell you the truth, what will I lose? I will ask them, therefore, be ready. Can I not tell you the truth? And then I will open up. Open up on them. And the truth is that the next day, they will come double that number. And the next day, you will not see anybody wearing trousers and coming. The next day, you see those painters, they remove. And now, when I speak about receiving the Holy Ghost, come and see manifestations. That is not seen when these 419 preachers visit them. God will judge all of them. God bless you. On the screen, Oben Mblekumba from Cameroon. God bless you. I'm so glad for opening my eyes today. But I'm confused with your teachings about the fivefold ministry. How that Paul was an apostle who also laid the foundation. That there is no other foundation. Does it mean the foundation Paul laid with other apostles was for the Gentiles only? Or was it for the seven church ages? Also, sir, is Pharaoh also in heaven since it was God hardening his heart? God bless you. There are two questions here. The first one is the foundation being laid. Is it only for the Gentiles? Or the seven church ages. The seven church ages is actually the Gentile dispensation. Remember that they rejected Christ, God blinding them, and took the gospel to us, as we see in the book of Esther, a type that was being fulfilled. So it is for the Gentile dispensation that is divided into seven church ages. What's this other question? Okay, the other one is Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh was not under the covenant that God has with Israel. The only family God had on earth, according to the Bible, was Israel. Therefore, Pharaoh cannot be in heaven because he is not under the covenant that God had with the children of Abraham. God bless you. But Judas was under the covenant. He was circumcised. He was a Jew. Another question? Shalom, church, from Sister Chika, Togo. God bless you, Brother Moses. My question, sir. You say, once saved, forever saved. Jesus said, no man coming to me except my Father draws you to me. And which, to my understanding, salvation is God's own business. Philippians 2:12c says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother Wesley was about to explain it yesterday, but there was a technical fault. Daddy, please let him explain that scripture to me. Thank you, Brother Moses, Brother Wesley, great teachers, more grace. Yes, during the transmission, during the broadcast yesterday, there were some technical issues and we had power failure.
Praise the Lord. The scripture there is talking about work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Nobody can work for his salvation because it is the gift of God. And once we have received that gift, we express it, we show it, we manifest it by the life we live. That is what it means. Work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. If I have been saved, I manifest it by the life I live. If I receive the gift of eternal life, I express that life of God by what I do every day. I am not working out my salvation so that I can earn salvation. I have already earned salvation as a gift, and I am now working it out. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. I think that is clear, yes? Another question? It's a good morning, sir. This is from Simon from Asaba, Nigeria. I was opportune to listen to your answer on my question once, but I couldn't document it. Sir, I'd be grateful if you can revisit the question. The question is about women in ministry. Some are even heads of churches. God bless you, sir. I don't remember what your question is, but maybe you want to find out the Bible position about women ministry. Certainly, the Bible does not permit a woman to teach, not to usurp authority. That should be 1 Timothy chapter 2. Can we open it? Verse 11, 12, and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let the woman learn. This learning here is not in the university. This learning here is not in secondary school. Learning here is learn the things that pertain to salvation, the scriptures. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But a sober not, that is, permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This is the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And finally, and Adam was not deceived in the Garden of Eden, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That is the reason why where men are seated, a woman cannot come and give them instruction in righteousness. No, the Bible is against it. The fivefold ministry does not belong to the woman. Therefore, ordaining a woman evangelist, a woman pastor, is contrary to the scripture. A woman, therefore, cannot be a general overseer, the pastor, a church. It is wrong, according to the scripture. I hope that answers you. Okay. Thank you very much. Another one. Brother Chris from South Africa. Shalom, church, please enlighten me on why there is a chair on the altar in your church. Is this scriptural? God bless you, sir. God bless you. From who? Chris. No, rather I will ask you, is there any scripture against it? I think that is what you should. I should ask you too. I put a chair there. Is there any scripture against it? Please, if there is no scripture against it, then you will soon ask me too, why do women sit one side and men sit one side? Maybe you will ask so many other questions. Why do we have seats here for ministers sitting down here? So please, anytime you see us doing anything contrary to the scripture, please don't hesitate to let us know the scripture we are breaking and we shall correct it. But that seat, for the information, is a symbolic seat. Our own way of demonstrating that the Holy Ghost is in charge. Whereas the denominationals, we put that seat for their GO, because the GO is the GO. But our own, the man there is the GO. We here, the Holy Ghost is the GO. No man is sitting on that seat. It's symbolic that we have given all authority to him, all glory to him, that he is the one leading us here. It is symbolic. God bless you. Okay. Thank you very much for all your questions. Are we happy? Are we happy? If you are happy, clap your hands for Jesus.